We have not spoken with Ryan Wilson of CBS. It hasn't been that long. It feels like so much longer because we love talking with Ryan. But I guess the last time we talked, it was about mock drafts and all of that. He is the mock draft maven for CBSSports.com. So my first question to my friend Ryan Wilson is, do you have mock draft withdrawal when you have to stop doing them?
Good afternoon, Adam. I'll just tell you what I just told Victoria. She asked me how my trip was on my vacation. I said I stayed at home. I didn't do anything. I just sat in the room and enjoyed the silence. So I am not having mock draft withdrawal. In fact, I'm dreading the idea of only having whatever, what is it, 12, 16 weeks, whatever, till I get back into the mock draft routine.
See, here's what's funny. I pay so close attention to how long off seasons are. But the off season in the NFL is arguably, and I'm not saying this definitively, I'm just saying it's arguably more interesting than the season. There are so many things to think about and do and talk about. And obviously a lot of your work is done then as well. I mean, watching games is fun. I don't know about watching tape and trying to definitively rank players who play different positions in different spots in the country. I don't know if that's fun, but the off season, there's more to do for you.
Yeah, it actually is fun for me. I have a little bit of OCD, so I enjoy the idea of trying to find some organization and looking at however many hundreds of people end up watching. So that part for me is a lot of fun. And also, you know, as you know, it's sort of hard to watch 15 different college games on Saturday and then watch every college, NFL game on Sunday. So the ability to sort of watch these players separately after the fact scratch that itch. But to your larger point, I think you're right, because football season's about, okay, the game's on Sunday, this player's hurt, this player gets benched, sort of your typical storylines. This is the time of year where you know, all bets are off. Anything and usually everything happens, whether it's the thank goodness Aaron Rodgers finally found a place to play, because that would have been a lingering storyline that we all would have gotten tired of. But you have guys like Saquon Barkley saying, I may not show up. Brian Burns understandably wants to get paid.
Right.
He's doing all the right things. Stephon Diggs, conversations with him and Sean McDermott about whether he's going to be there. He showed up today. And those sort of tension points on some really good football teams are problems for not only the coaches and the GMs and the front office folks, but also for the fans trying to figure out, okay, is this the year we're going to make a run, or is it going to be because of this one player who wants this and doesn't get it that upsets the apple cart?
Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com, Cover 3, I'm sorry, Pick 6 podcast, which we talked to Chip about an hour ago. So I apologize for getting podcasts mixed up. I listened to both of them. So let me start with a couple of Panthers things, and then we'll move on. You already mentioned two of the players I wanted to ask you about. But we know the Panthers kind of, it's not really on the low. We knew it was going to happen. It really doesn't matter now anyway that Bryce Young was elevated to QB1. I love Andy Dalton as a backup, but he's never going to be the starter. It's really Bryce Young's job to lose. Is that a fair way of looking at it?
Oh, absolutely. And by the way, there are worse things than being accused of being a member of the Cover 3 podcast. So I'll take any association with Chip Patterson without fail. But yeah, I mean, this was just a formality, right? And there were some clips last week and the week before floating around in Tennessee where we saw Will Levis airmail a throwing net, and
yeah,
that got a little buzz. And at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. But Bryce Young, by all accounts, has been on point. Frank Reich has been incredibly impressed, and I would imagine he's a pretty tough guy to impress when it comes to quarterback play. The only issue is, and you know, I'm sure you talked about this when those first photographs came, Bryce Young in the Carolina Panthers helmet, he looked like he was in fourth grade. And my response was, get him a uniform that it looked like he was wearing Derrick Brown's uniform. I think that was the problem. Get him one that fits, and he looks like he's in Alabama, where he's much more of a football-looking player. But it doesn't matter. We knew all the physical limitations, in quotation marks, about Bryce Young before he arrived. But he's better than advertised, and I think he's proven that now. And the question is going to be, how quickly does he assimilate as being a face of the franchise in the NFL after facing a lot of those same pressures at, you know, the high-profile Alabama? But this feels like another sort of checkbox you tick off as you go down the list of things you need Bryce to do as we get closer to August and then to September. But no surprise, and I think Andy Dalton is probably one of the guys you want as your backup, because he understands his role, and he's not looking to make any waves in the locker room, and he's been, you know, he's been down this road several times before.
Yeah, look, I think Dalton can be a dynamite. We joked around a few years ago when Derek Anderson was the backup in Carolina, and I think I coined the term, the phrase, a franchise backup. And Andy Dalton can certainly be that. I mean, because, you know, if he had to, he could start a few games. I had no problem with Andy Dalton in an emergency having to start or get you out of a game if Bryce Young can't finish it for one reason or another. So, and if Dalton, who does appear to have accepted the role, if Dalton wants to be a franchise backup, by all means, man, you could play another 5 to 6 years in the NFL.
Yeah, no, he's gotten a lot of mileage out of that backup role after being the guy who I think was part of the five-year stretch. I think he had the entire stretch of 5 years straight going to the playoffs with the Bengals. Yeah. And, of course, they didn't win a football game until Joe Burrow came along in January. But that's something certainly to hang your hat on. The other thing that's sort of interesting to me and the larger view picture, Adam, is that Matt Corral was a third-round pick last year. And Matt Corral, much like Malik Willis, I just talked about Will Levis in Tennessee. Malik Willis was a third-round pick in Tennessee. It just shows you how quickly you can move on from a guy that you think might have an opportunity to be a starting quarterback for you, even a day two guy, if things don't work out relatively quickly. And, you know, that he got injured. I get that with Matt Corral. But if you have an opportunity to take a Bryce Young, you do it. And the Titans traded up for Will Levis, and they apparently weren't impressed enough with Malik Willis last year and his limited duty to stick with that. So it just goes to show you this is a short-term situation. Even if you're a high-profile guy like Zach Wilson, yep, who clearly is going to be sitting on the bench with Aaron Rodgers playing in New York.
Yeah, I look at the Zach Wilson thing, and I don't think he's ever going to play. I really don't. I don't think he's ever going to play for the Jets again. I think he is there until they could figure out the successor to Aaron Rodgers. To Rodgers, how happy was he that mandatory minicamp is no longer anything? It's gone. They canceled it. This is Robert Saleh taking a page from the Doug Peterson playbook and just getting rid of it.
Yeah, it's funny because we were sending my buddy Rick Spielman to the Jaguars mandatory mini camp, and it got canceled. So he didn't have to go there and report for CBS Sports HQ. Different times a little bit. We've seen, you know, in the past coaches do this thing. I think in terms of Aaron Rodgers, what it means, part of me wonders, is this going to be a situation where the Jets front office coaching staff is going to have to try to walk on eggshells around Aaron Rodgers to keep him happy? Or is this a team-building exercise? Was this going to happen whether someone else was the quarterback? And I think these are things that you're going to be looking out for to see, okay, is this to placate the boss? By boss, right, I mean Aaron Rodgers.
Sure.
Or is this a situation that is beneficial for everyone and was in the planning already? Because we know that Aaron Rodgers can be prickly.
Yeah.
And he's not hidden that fact, and he's come out and said as much. Mike McCarthy can confirm it, and I would imagine the current coach and GM in Green Bay would confirm it as well. So I want to see how that plays out, especially if the Jets start slowly to the season. But again, we have a lot of time to talk about that. But I would imagine Aaron Rodgers is quite happy as someone who is close to 40 that he didn't have to go to his job that's basically manual labor. If you want to look at it like that.
Yeah, but he showed up for OTAs and all the other stuff, which Aaron Rodgers would have never done. He said that this is the most fun he's had in years. Of course it is. Ryan Wilson, CBS Sports, is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. So, Dalvin Cook or Ezekiel Elliott, who would you like?
That's an interesting question. I wonder, my first question would be, if I'm a team, is who's cheaper, if I'm talking to their agents? Because
right,
they're both really good football players, both have battled injuries, and both, I would imagine, want to get paid, not having spoken with them or their agents, and I get that. So I think it's a half dozen of one, to be honest with you, Adam. I like both players. I just think the concern with Zeke is that he was drafted too high, and that wasn't his fault. And Dalvin Cook was a second-round pick and had great value as a second-rounder and was a great teammate, as Zeke has reportedly been in Dallas as well. So I think at the end of the day, it's just money if I'm the GM or the coach, because the fit is the fit, right? I mean, these guys are both in their late 20s, yeah, after 25 anyway. They're not quite 30, and they still have a couple of years left for sure. It's just a matter of how much of the salary cap are going to devote to one of these two players. And the question for the running backs might be this. Okay, do I want to maximize my value? By that, I mean, get as much as I can in this contract and play for a terrible team, or do I want to give a discount and go to a place like Kansas City, for example, or the Eagles, for example, for an opportunity to win a Super Bowl, because that'll also have to factor in. And those decisions, either way, it's going to be up to the player, not necessarily a wrong or right one. But I think for me, I'm happy with either player. It's just whichever one comes cheapest if I'm the team.
Could you imagine Dalvin Cook in Kansas City's offense?
Yeah, you know what's funny? We said that about Le'Veon Bell, and he really didn't do anything.
But he was done right. By the time he got there. Dalvin Cook's not done.
He is not done. But it's a situation where you could be Juju Smith-Schuster, and you could be a contributor. You don't have to do the heavy lifting.
Yep.
And in the running case of the running back, you're behind Isaiah Pacheco, so you're splitting carries, and you're getting all the benefits of playing with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, and none of the headaches of having to answer tough questions when your team loses from the media. So that, to me, feels like a discount. Like, I don't want to say it feels like a couple $100,000 a year discount, because that's insane to say out loud. But that's something I would imagine you would think about if you're Dalvin Cook or Zeke Elliott.
I think you would have to. Final thing. So yesterday, the Bills sort of announced that, man, Stephon Diggs is not here. And Sean McDermott was, it's concerning. And Diggs' agent said, nah, he's there. He reported yesterday. How does that happen? I mean, I don't know. Maybe he wasn't hanging around the facility on Tuesday, but I mean, he's either reported or he hasn't reported. We shouldn't get that wrong.
Right. To your original point, though, this is what happens in June. This doesn't happen in October, by the way. Stephon Diggs has never been late, as far as we know.
Right.
Or no show to a practice or a game. He's always been there, and I think that's part of the off-season dance of, okay, is it time to re-up Stephon Diggs' contract? Is Stephon Diggs looking to relocate? Is he unhappy? Because now what we go back to is, like, remember the last time he was on the field, he and Josh Allen weren't besties as they lost that game to the Cincinnati Bengals in the playoffs. Again, if they had won that game, no one cares or goes back to that. And no one cares that maybe Stephon Diggs wants more money, because they would have won enough games, perhaps gotten to the Super Bowl, so on and so forth. I think the interesting thing about this situation is that Josh Allen is the face of this team, no doubt about it. The offense runs through Josh Allen. But number two on the list is Stephon Diggs. He is incredibly important to what they do, and you could argue pretty easily that when Stephon Diggs arrived in Buffalo, that's when Josh Allen's game took off, coincidental or not. The other issue is that it's rare that someone who isn't a quarterback has any leverage in the NFL in terms of negotiating. Stephon Diggs has a little, actually, because after him, there's Gabe Davis on the depth chart at wide receiver, and that's about it. Now, you have Dawson Knox, you drafted Dalton Kincaid, both tight ends, but I don't think you're going to revamp an offense without Stephon Diggs around the running backs and Josh Allen. So I think if there's something Stephon Diggs wants to happen, maybe it happens, because it's hard to move on from him and expect this offense to look like it has the last few years, even though Josh Allen has gotten better each and every year, disregarding the issues when he struggled with the elbow injury.
Ryan Wilson, CBS Sports, I appreciate your time. Go back to doing nothing. Because that's what you wanted to do. And I don't blame you one bit for doing nothing when after all that you did for 13 months of last season. I appreciate it, man. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Adam.
You got it. Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com. He is their mock draft expert.